I'm Michael Ray Dresser, and you're listening to thought-provoking talk on Dresser After Dark. And each night, we'll bring you the best and the brightest, authors and experts with solutions, the topics you want to hear, and the people who know to bring it to you. So let's do it together. Let's get to the heart of the issues that face us every day, right here, right now, on Dresser After Dark, coast to coast and around the world. Galen Whitley-Keith with us. She is the author of The Father of Hollywood. That's her first book. She's written for South Bay Magazine, California native, and she's heard on both American and Canadian radio. And again, the book is The Father of Hollywood. And let us say, Galen, hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be on and talk with you tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. We talk about The Father of Hollywood. Hollywood in and of itself has so many stories, so many mysteries. And if it wasn't for that big sign up on the hill, that in and of itself would cause it to lose some identity. So when you look at Hollywood through your eyes, how do you see it?
Well, my great-grandfather was the founder of Hollywood. He's actually buried in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, and on his graveside it says the Father of Hollywood. He was the namer, and I could tell you a short little story about that. It's
Please.
Quite interesting. He was on his honeymoon with my great-grandmother, and they were on the foothill looking over the valley of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And along came a wagon with a Chinese man driving it. And the man got out of his wagon and bowed to my grandparents. And my grandfather said, "What are you doing?" And the Chinese man in broken English said, "Work hard, up early, Hollywood."
Hollywood.
Because he was hauling wood.
Yeah.
And my grandfather had an epiphany and decided to name the town Hollywood. Because he was Scottish.
Yeah.
Which was the wood part, and Holly was his British roots. And so that's how the name was created.
Now, by the way, what kind of a man are we dealing with? When I say who was he, inside, how do you think? What made him who he was?
He would have been considered a fine Victorian man. He was a man of his word. He never forgot a favor or a friendship. And he always, his family, from his grandfather down, always taught him to help people, and that was really his motive in life. He was sacrificial. For example, besides doing Hollywood, he also developed the San Fernando Valley, and part of his business partners, when the economy got bad, kind of like today, he, instead of foreclosing on the people, decided to give them a chance to pay their loans. And so at his own sacrifice, he kept thousands of people in their houses.
Yeah, but wait, those were in the days when to buy a brand new house was about $9,000 or $10,000.
Probably not that much. Probably like $2,000.
Yeah, I got it loud and
clear. Or $500. I don't know. Not very much.
No, I go back to, which is interesting. I was brought up. I was raised in Los Angeles. Matter of fact, I came from one of the most famous cities in the world right now.
In Los Angeles, Hollywood. Yeah.
No, not. Oh, even more famous than Hollywood right now.
Right now, I don't know what that would be.
Bell, California.
Bell.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Haven't you heard of what's going on there?
No, I haven't.
Oh, they've arrested everybody, and they got rid of the police chief and the mayor and the rest of them. They're all in jail for embezzlement.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I'm saying I came from the most famous city in California, which right now is Bell, and when that's over with, it'll go back to oblivion. But I was raised in Southern California, and I experienced the things that you were talking about, and I remember back in the 50s, my mom bought a house in 1953, I think it was, and the house was $10,000, and it was $50 a month. That same house is worth $200,000-$300,000 today.
Right. Well, my great-grandfather bought Hollywood for 22,500 acres. In the heart of Hollywood, it would have run from La Brea to Cahuenga.
Oh, yeah.
With a center at Highland in Hollywood where the Kodak Theater is.
That's wild.
Right.
Can you imagine that today, what that's worth?
Oh,
yeah, right. Yeah, we can't say enough zeros on top of it.
Right.
No, absolutely, I got it. You know, some of the little things about Hollywood, La Cienega, I remember years back, I don't even know if they do it anymore, but remember when La Cienega was Restaurant Row?
Right, I
do. And do you know what the direct literal translation of La Cienega is?
No, I do not.
It's the sewer. I got that loud and clear, and that's where Restaurant Row was. All right, let's go back to Hollywood now. What caused it to be what it is? I mean, it couldn't have just happened.
No, it didn't. Actually, in 1902, he began developing it. He put the Hollywood Hotel in on the corner of Hollywood and Highland, and a bank. And then he kind of changed California architecture and moved to Mediterranean hillside homes. And he put in the first electricity, the red car, water, all kinds of infrastructure. And so when the movie industry came to California, he was fortunate to run into the Horsley brothers, and he offered the Whitley estate for the first filming. In fact, October 26, 2011, will be the 100th anniversary of the first filming in Hollywood by the studio. And so what I'm actually trying to do is, if you go to my website, thefatherofhollywood.com, there's a link to nominate H.J. Whitley to the California Hall of Fame. And so that's what I'm trying to get people to do.
Oh, good idea.
Because he's just an amazing person. What he did, because he was a businessman, he'd already started 100 towns across the United States. He's done the Oklahoma run. He was just a man who did multiple things. He brought cotton industry to California. He was the first telemarketer. So he's this busy, busy man. And then he did Hollywood. He saw that he saw a jewel kind of in the rough, and he collected the directors and producers, and by 1920, he had sold Whitley Heights, which is on the National Registry of Historic Places. The majority of the silent film stars, producers, and directors lived on that hill. So he just had this charismatic personality because he was honest. Something new in this world.
I can't even pronounce that word.
Yeah, honest and trustworthy, and a man of his word, had integrity, and he attracted them to that one area. And that's what made Hollywood Hollywood. They all came to the one spot. Because originally they had come to Los Angeles, but he lured them to Hollywood.
Yeah, and Hollywood's not that far away from L.A. What is it, 10, 12 miles away from downtown, if that far?
Right, it's not too far. And he actually put in the red car, had business partners do that, and he had modern things like electricity. In fact, the first Hollywood lit sign actually didn't say Hollywoodland, it said Whitley Heights.
Mm.
And then one of his business partners was having trouble selling land, and he suggested put up a sign with light bulbs that you can see from Wilshire, which is pretty far away, and attract people. And it actually was only going to be there a year.
Yeah, have you lived in the Hollywood area for a long time?
I was actually born in the L.A. area.
Oh, okay.
I've lived in Manhattan Beach, which is very close to
Hollywood. Oh, sure. No, absolutely no question about it. There was Santa Monica Boulevard right off of La Brea. There, before you hit Sunset, if you made a left on La Brea, there was a nightclub there. I can't remember what what was that place?
I don't know, Whiskey A Go Go.
No, it wasn't the Whiskey. That was on.
That
was on the Strip.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you remember? Do you remember the Direct Line? The Direct Line was on La Cienega, and it was the greatest place in the world. The Direct Line had tables in it, and each table had a number, and each table also had a telephone. And let's say, for instance, that if somebody wanted to dance with you, I'm sitting over on table 12. You're on table 20. And I pick up the phone, I call you, and I say, would you like to dance? And you can pick up the phone and look at me, you can nod your head yes or no, and it would stop people from being embarrassed to walk up to somebody and say, would you like to dance? And they say no, and you're stuck standing there looking like a fool.
I think that's great.
That was wonderful. It was the Direct Line, Ciro's, Canton's, all those places were around, but I think most of them are gone now.
They are. Like the Hollywood Hotel kind of had a neat thing in it with the silent stars in the dining room.
Yeah.
On the ceiling, they put the name of the star.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the hotel was torn down, guess what they created? The Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Ah.
And they put the stars in the cement.
Oh, good. Okay. Got
going.
It. Yeah. Oh, that was good. All right. We're starting to run out of time, Gabe. Let me ask you this again. The website, please.
Thefatherofhollywood.com.
Thefatherofhollywood.com. Galen Whitley Keith, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. What a great fun interview.
Well, thank you, Michael, and I hope you have a good new year. It's a great to look forward to what's coming up.
Absolutely. Take care.
Bye.
Good night. And if there's a subject that you would like to hear addressed on the show or someone you would like to hear interviewed, contact Radio Susie. You can find her on the homepage of the website, www.dresserafterdark.com. You can find all of our guests on the guest page on our website, just in case you missed the name of their book. their website, or any other contact information. www.dresserafterdark.com. Thanks for listening, and if you're listening on the web, tell your local radio stations about the show. That's the way we grow. That's what you call networking. I'm Michael Ray Dresser, and that, my friends, is a wrap.